Okay. It is certainly disappointing when we call someone on our cell phone and get a recorded answer and have to leave a voicemail, because we've got good news to share. We wanted to tell that person in real time, not leave a recording. It's a whole lot different when we talk to God in prayer. God is always there to personally take our call, listen, and give us an answer. Jesus encourages his disciples to pray in today's gospel. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Really? Jesus seems to be saying that prayer can actually make a difference. That prayer can, dare we say it, change God. That because we have prayed, God will do things differently. Really? Does God change his mind? Or would God have given it to us anyway? Many object to the idea that prayer could ever change God. Because prayer cannot change God, because God by definition is, you know, immortal, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing. I mean, we are mere mortals. I mean, who are we to think that we can influence God? I mean, that seems utterly presumptuous. Some say that if, well, you know, prayer changes anything, it changes us. We pray so that God would help us to accept what God is going to do anyway. We must therefore pray for the faith and the courage to accept the inevitable will of God. You know, God, the great computer chip in the sky, even though at the moment God's will seems utterly unacceptable. Therefore, we must be careful, we are told, how we pray. Oh, we must not pray for too many material things like rain, a better job, a new bike, or healing from cancer. I mean, to pray like that would sound like a baby clamoring for more candy when mom has already decided that it is time for bed. Instead, we must pray modestly, humbly, reverently. Others say, well, you know, prayer actually can change God if we only pray the right kind of prayer. If we pray fervently enough, seriously enough, and faithfully enough. If we use the right words, ask for the right things, and get the right people to pray with us, then things can be different. Then God can be changed. You know, God is really like that big Coke machine in the sky. You know, we just put in enough quarters and we get what we want. Hate to admit it, but prayer really is like rubbing your lucky rabbit's foot, picking the winning lottery numbers, or knowing the secret password. If we only do it right, then we will get what we want. Now, as appealing and persuasive as these two understandings of prayer might be, they are both faithless. They absolutely contradict what Jesus has to say about prayer in today's gospel. The first kind of prayer is a kind of fatalism. This kind of prayer is no more than trying to buck up and grin and bear it. Since we mere mortals cannot change the unchangeable God, prayer is really like, you know, talking to yourself. I mean, God has already determined what will happen. We can do nothing to change it. So we pray for the strength to accept the inevitable. And the second kind of prayer is really nothing more than a kind of magic. Magical prayer assumes that, you know, if we can only learn to say the magical words, then we can get God to give us what we want. Then the rabbit will pop out of the hat. Then we can get the secret door to open, like some adventurous Indiana Jones finding the lost treasure. Both kinds of prayer leave us wanting, and they will disappoint us. Fatalistic prayer leaves us asking, well, why bother to pray if everything is set in stone anyway? And magical prayer leaves us wondering, have I done enough? Have I got it right? Never being sure that we have. This is not the way Jesus talked about prayer. When the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus begins with the promise of God. Jesus reminds us that prayer is a conversation with God. But it's a special kind of conversation. And listen to this very carefully. Prayer is part two of a conversation started by God. The God who will do anything to convince us that God is our loving Father and we are His beloved children. So often we want to make prayer part one, thinking that somehow we have got to get God's attention because he's asleep at the wheel. We got to wake God up, so we got to work on saying the right kind of prayer. No, prayer is a gift. Jesus doesn't give us some complicated formula or practical 12-step program to show us how to pray more effectively. Prayer is not something we have to do in order to get something from God. Prayer is not what we resign ourselves to do. It is not, you know, bucking up under the inevitable. Prayer is something we get to do because of what God has already done for us. God has already started the conversation with that wonderful announcement that God is our loving Father and we are His beloved kids. And just in case we stand there dumbfounded and befuddled and don't know what to say, Jesus gives us a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, an incredibly short and simple prayer that makes it abundantly clear that we do not need to impress God with our many and eloquent words. God just wants us to talk to Him, like a child talking to their loving parent with complete confidence and certainty that their parents will give them whatever they need to keep on coming back and asking. Jesus illustrates this with a short story about a man who visits his friend at midnight asking for bread to feed his unexpected guest. But it is midnight, and the friend is tired and asleep with his family. He does not want to be bothered. But that neighbor is persistent. He will not stop knocking. He will not stop asking. So a friend finally gives him some bread just to get him off his back. Jesus' point is simple. If the friend is willing to give his neighbor bread merely because he is persistent, merely because he is a nag, how much more will our Heavenly Father respond to our prayers and give us that for which we ask? Remember, prayer is part two of a conversation started by God, and that God started that conversation when God claimed us in the waters of baptism. In those waters, God assured us that Jesus' fate would also be ours. God sent Jesus to to love sinners like us. God suffered and died on the cross to prove it. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, God made it clear that nothing could ever separate Jesus and those he loved from the love of God. Jesus says that praying is like what happens when parents love their kids. Parents are not going to give to their kids a snake when they ask for a fish, or a scorpion when they ask for an egg. If we earthly parents, who are flawed and imperfect, and even Jesus dares to call us evil, can do this much for our kids, how much more will our Heavenly Father do for us? Praying is a lot like this. Little Johnny comes to his dad at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's hungry. He wants dad to wake up and give him a dish of chocolate ice cream. But it's the middle of the night. This is not good for Johnny or for his dad. But whatever his dad decides to do, he will do it in a way that will keep Johnny coming back to talk to his dad regardless of the time of day or night. Now, most of the time, that will mean that dad will probably gently lead Johnny back to bed. I mean, this is not the time for chocolate ice cream. But then, there just might be that night when he looks at his son and sees that cute face and that smile and those big eyes and remembers how much he loves this little guy. So, he decides that this is the night that things will be different. Sure, why not? You ask, I love you. Let's go have a dish of chocolate ice cream. Dare we say it? Yes, prayer can change God. Things can be different because we pray. And it's not because our prayers have earned it. It is not because we have been so good that we deserve it. But God is free to change his mind and give us that for which we ask. Even the most ordinary and down-to-earth of things. Because God so loves his kids. The Bible is filled with examples of God changing his mind and doing things differently because his kids have asked. In today's first reading, Abraham repeatedly asks God, nags God, if you will, to show his mercy on the wicked city of Sodom. And God does. In the book of Exodus, Moses begs God not to turn his back on his people, the disobedient children of Israel. And God, believe it or not, the scripture says, literally, changes his mind and decides to rescue the Israelites anyway. And repeatedly, Jesus responds to the pleas of the deaf and the blind and the paralyzed and leprous and even parents grieving the death of their children. And, dare we say it, reverses the inevitable. He shatters what seemed to be set in stone and works a miracle. You see, God's love will not be thwarted. Finally, even by a stone that seals Jesus in a tomb, because God even violates that and raises Jesus from the dead, because God is bound and determined to be free and to do whatever God pleases and to do whatever it takes for his kids to keep on believing and trusting and talking and praying. So, we pray, ask, search, knock, whether at midnight when an unexpected guest has arrived, or 3 a.m. when we are hungry for a chocolate ice cream. Now, we may get that ice cream, or we may not. But our Heavenly Dad promises to always give us what we need to keep on praying, to keep on asking for anything and everything. Nothing is out of bounds. And to keep on believing that our Heavenly Father will always give us what we need, to keep on praying, to keep on asking, to keep on believing that He is our loving Father and we are His blessed kids. You see, every prayer, even when it is for the most concrete and specific things of life, is a prayer for faith. That is why Jesus said at the conclusion of today's gospel that God will answer every one of our prayers with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, finally, that gives us the faith to keep on praying like this, to keep on believing like this. But it's the Holy Spirit, finally, who helps us to enjoy prayer as a gift from God. Part two of a conversation that God will never give up on. So, therefore, then, Lord, Daddy, Abba, Heavenly Father, teach us to pray like this. Amen. Please rise for the hymn.